Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Hello and welcome to Share Talk. Today I'm joined by Andrew Bell, who is chairman at Red Rock Resources. How's your day, Andrew?
I'm very good indeed.
You've got a sweeping update that you've had today, going all over the world with all your assets. What's the highlight for you at the moment?
Well, I thought he was quite focused. Actually, the highlight is, I suppose, obviously the fact that we're making progress and have got everything ready and refurbished in Kenya, ready to start work, is important, and that we've now got a team assembling there. The fact that in Australia we are reaching the last stages of grant of the first licenses and have got people working there is important. And in Congo, well, you know, I can't say very much because we're still sorting things out there, but the fact that we have resolved the issue that our partner had there for a long time that was holding us up, that we couldn't really talk about, but it was delaying us. That's really, really potentially significant. You know, in Africa, you always have to be careful about announcing things, because something that can appear to have been done, it turns out hasn't quite been done, and you have to wait a little bit more. So we've got that there, and in both Congo and Kenya. And in Australia, we have in Victoria a mining department that is overwhelmed by both applications and by COVID and the inability to staff up to meet the demand because of the lockdowns in Melbourne. So it's still stuck slightly in first gear. But we've been through the process, and we're really pleased to see that our first three licenses are now scheduled to go before the committee, which means that all the processes have been gone through right up to the QA, which is the last stage. And now it goes to the committee and then signed off by the minister. And these should be pretty much quick processes, and we hope trouble-free processes. So once we've got the licenses granted there, we're really going to hit the ground running with some exploration. We have lots of ideas. We've got people prepared to do that. And of course, in both Kenya and in Australia, we're attaching this huge importance to community relations and having people appointed to do that. In Victoria, that'll be something we have to give a great deal of attention to. It's not like Western Australia. It's quite populated. It's close to Melbourne. People have hobby farms. Agriculture takes place there. There are people with environmental concerns who go and stay there at weekends. It's not like drilling for oil in Surrey, but it is something that has to be treated with sensitivity in order to do it. Of course, there are mines there. There are people doing exploration there. But we want to make sure that we have good relations with all the people there. So we have established an office in Ballarat locally. We have an exploration manager there. And now we have someone dealing with community relations who's a great energetic girl who is a heptathlete, actually, hoping to be in the Commonwealth Games and maybe the Olympics. So she is combining doing this work for us with her training. She's worked in the mining industry and also has a degree in environmental science, so ideal for the job, and a relatively high public profile in Australia for those who know anything about athletics. And so we've already started making contacts there with local communities because we need to get known. So I think we're putting the building blocks in place to ensure that we have a good foundation for activities there.
Right. I mean, I was talking about the geographical sweep in the sense that you've got a £5 million company and three focuses in terms of Australia, Kenya and the Democratic Republic of Congo. So it seems to be there's quite a lot of asset there for a relatively small market cap. Is that a fair suggestion?
Well, yeah, you can then don't say either that the market capitalization is wrong or that the spread of assets is wrong. The fact is that through Red Rock Australasia, with our joint venture with Parmetal Resources, we don't make the mistake of thinking that we can run it from London. The key operating decisions, everything will be taken in Australia, because there's any number of really well-qualified people there, a high level of mining expertise, you have to say, better than in the United Kingdom. We will provide some of the sort of dotting of I's and crossing of T's and some of the fundraising and getting onto the market, capital raising.
So, Andrew, when I refer to the geographical sprawl of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Kenya and Australia, I was referring really to the way that you've got three asset centres, let's say, and a £5 million market cap. And so, therefore, one would assume that the assets are not being highly rated at the moment.
Well, it depends whether you think that the market capitalisation is wrong or the assets are wrong. My view is that probably the market capitalisation is wrong, and like a lot of the industry, we're coming up from a low place. But we like the assets. And in terms of Congo and Kenya, that's really easy. It's in time zone. It's a quick flip south from London and easily accessible. I mean, people out there speak French and English, so no difficulty at all in communication. Then Australia, of course, is a hell of a lot further, but it has a similar culture. And we had not to run it from here. There's any number of good out in more mining expertise out in Australia than there is here. The reason why there have been Canadian companies involved in Victorian exploration and success, and there are companies there like ECR and others, well, it's their name as well, is because people coming from out of country sometimes have a different vision. People locally who are prejudiced by previous experiences, and the experience for many decades in Victoria was that it wasn't a very benign environment for mineral exploration compared with Western Australia, which is deserted. You might have native issues, you might actually have environmental issues, but basically it's a mining friendly jurisdiction. Victoria is much more like, say, Africa, in that you have to be aware that there are people living all over the place, local people have continually to be informed and to be kept on side. And that makes it harder work in the view of some people. But for us, we don't think that's difficult. We think it's part of the normal process of how you operate, and we start doing that straight away. So we've got people who are running this in Australia, and frankly, we haven't been able to travel to Australia. But even if we weren't able to travel there for another year, we have people who can do the running there, and the only bits that we need to be involved with, we can do over the telephone line or Zoom, whatever. So we don't actually have the problem. The tyranny of distance doesn't really affect us there. We've all, of course, been there. We can't go at the moment, but it runs itself, and it has good people running it. And these are all people who, you know, in terms of where they've been trained, where they've worked historically, there's a lot of overlap with the people we might have here. So Africa is in time zone. Australia is the same culture. It's actually not difficult to handle. Would we want to go and find ourselves in additional jurisdictions and in other environments or other continents? Probably no. That would be taking on too much. Although, you know, if you're in partnerships where somebody else is running the day-to-day operation, you can actually sit back and say, we are in this commodity or we are in this field and we have assets in different continents according to where we think is attractive, we don't need to be everywhere physically ourselves. We could do that. As it is, our projects are on the whole run under our control, and so there is a natural limit to what we can do. I think we're about there, but we're in the right place. We've got sufficient diversification of country, of risk, of commodity to not be over-dependent on one asset. We are not, on the other hand, so diversified that we become overstretched.
Right, and just a couple of points to finish off on. First is, out of the three geographies, which project is sort of nearest to the finishing line or nearest to the production line out of those three?
Well, the good thing about having two or three assets is that you wait for one to break out of the pack and really make progress. And that can be, for example, a particular commodity takes off, or it can be that you make some discovery, or it can be that you are offered some transaction. And when I look at these three, I can see, I mean, for two of them, we're getting constant approaches from people, you know, from companies, I should say, of approaches of various kinds, and that is active. In Congo, I wouldn't say we're at that stage yet, but once we start proving what we have, that's going to happen as well. We are, in fact, in conversation with a global major about one of our Congolese assets, which is may not lead to anything, but we're in very active discussion under NDAs with people who have unsolicited come to us in relation to both Kenya and Australia. So we must be doing something right.
Right, so you're being flattered at the moment, and you said in your update that you're looking forward to an active 2021. Presumably that's
yes.
Just developing, taking things forward relatively quickly.
Yeah, that's right. I think we've been in training, so to speak, this year, got to the start line with all these things, but we can really make progress next year. And, of course, there are some other things that are happening that we never expected. The iron ore price has been low for quite a while. People have been constantly worried that China, for example, might slow down, or that there were pressures on too much iron ore production. We now look at it and we see, well, actually, there is iron ore prices are extremely good. They're back to the levels they were back in the bull market days at the beginning of the decade. And by, I wouldn't say coincidence, but serendipitously, Jupiter is floating out its iron ore assets, on which we have a royalty, at exactly the time this is taking place. And so apart from our shareholding in Jupiter, where, of course, we were one of the parties that originally put that whole thing together, we are going to be having shares in a new iron ore float in Australia, and that could be exciting.
Andrew Bell, Chairman at Red Rock Resources, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.